Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here this morning. I'm going to hand over to Alison for some intimations.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book. We are marking the end of term for Catch the Kids at Church today, with presentations during the service and ice cream and strawberries for everybody to enjoy afterwards. Limekilns Church 200th anniversary. A flower festival has been taking place this weekend in Limekilns Church. This is open today from 11 till 4 down at Limekilns. There's a bring and share picnic on Charleston Green on Sunday the 17th of August, and the timings are to be confirmed. Holiday arrangements. Please note there'll be no Zoom presentation of Sunday services during the whole month of July. In the Fife Carers Centre Unpaid Carers Social Group, the group meets every second Thursday from 11 till 12:30, open to all who are providing unpaid care for a family member or friend. The next meeting is on the 3rd of July. Meetings will continue through the holidays. The Well. Fife Social Care Partnership runs drop-in sessions to provide information and support relevant to a range of wellness issues. These are in church on the first Friday each month between 1 and 2:30. The next meeting will be here on the 4th of July, and meetings again continue throughout the holidays. Carnac and Oakley Church are holding a strawberry coffee morning on Saturday the 5th of July from 10 till noon, and there will be the usual stalls and background music. Other intimations on the printed sheet can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from the website if you don't have a copy. And there's a couple of extra ones. The Fife Pilgrim Way, which is the way from Couris through to St Andrews, I believe, goes live this Tuesday, the 1st of July. And we have got, we're organised with a box which has a key code that people will be provided with, and in that box there's a stamp, and people have passports so they can get the Cairney Hill stamp, which was one of Rob's designs.
Yes, the
dove on the cross for the Cairney Hill one. So that starts, so anybody walking on the Pilgrim Way can come in here. We haven't finally decided exactly where the box is going, but we assume it's probably in the car somewhere out there in the car park. So that's that, and then the rough casting of the end of the manse. There is scaffolding up at the moment, but that's going to be repaired between the 2nd and the 9th of July, just if anybody's needing to use the area and would want to know that. Okay, thank you. Here's a look at the order of service for people who would like to see it.
I mean, if you want to know where things are going to be attached to the church, the trick is to speak to the property convener, Alison. Well, that's a good question, Doug. And just as a little enticement to go and see the flowers in Limekilns Church, Carn has put in flowers for two weddings, one that took place in here in July 15 years ago for Sarah, and the other which took place 45 years ago in Perth, and there's a picture of Carn and I at our wedding. So if you want to see what I looked like at age 23, that's the place to go and see. And I'm sure I've already had some funny comments, and the other one is to work out which of the flower arrangements I did. We're here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing a modern adaptation of Psalm 100, of verses 4 and 5. This is at hymn 65, Jubilati Everybody, which is just Praise God Everybody.
Jubilati,
I was going to bless an offering. Let's present our offering to God. Almighty God, we offer you our praise and prayer, our laughter, our joy, all that we are. And with these things, we offer of our material well-being too. Bless this money to your use and to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we sang that first hymn, I don't know why a daft thing goes through my head now and again. Probably because there's not a lot in there and it just kind of swirls around. How many people here had to study Latin at school? Right. You're doing Latin. Right. There's a good poem about that, isn't there? About learning Latin, something about, you know, about it killing the Romans and now it's killing me. Anyway, I'm quite amazed, because I didn't learn any Latin. I wasn't clever enough. I was in the stream. Lily, you're the grown-up there. Could you please mind the children? I was in the stream that they thought I wouldn't be very academic, so I got the option of French, but no option to do Latin. So you must be so much brighter than me. Anyway, I'm really glad to see you here. And I saw the look on Claire's face and... Did you see that look as well, Kira, did you? So it's been great to have Catch around and all the things you've been up to. And I know this has been a busy weekend because it was the Dunfermline Gala yesterday. But we've got some bits and pieces here. You're in charge, Claire. Right. That'd be fine. So, Leah, so what stage are you at now in your life journey? Yeah. And are you already at secondary or going to secondary? Going. Looking forward to it. I loved secondary school. There was a bit of, yeah, anyway. So, thank you for being here for Catch, and that's a wee gift. And we've got Finlay. See, this is really worrying. Would you like to step up here? It's no fear, is it? On me, I mean. And would you like to know some really bad news? I've started to shrink. So well done for your time here. Thank you. Ryan? And I can't speak to you in Latin, I'm sorry. I can do a bit of Greek, but no Latin. So thank you for being part of Catch and for being part of the church here. Thank you very much. And there's a few more to go out. And it is great that we've got young people in and around the church and older people who are still young as well, because some of us are still worrying what's going to happen when we become grown-ups. Don't we, George? So thank you very much. We're going to sing now, because I take it Catch are going out, are they? Into the sunshine, leaving us in church for sermons. And there we go. So we're going to sing, and I'll need to look at the number. Hymn number 692, Jesus Puts This Song Into Our Hearts. when to put that hay in. Anyway, let's continue in worship in prayer. And this morning, Rosemary is going to be leading us in prayer.
Just before we start to pray, just having sung Jesus puts a song into our hearts. Yesterday I heard a wee story from Glastonbury, which Catherine, our daughter, had sent to us, and I think it'd be nice to share. There was a set on in the Summer House, which is one of the smaller stages at Glastonbury, and the BBC had heard that the field had been closed off because so many people were there, and they've only ever had to close the stage for the Killers or the Sugar Babes and that sort of category of people. So the DJ was a chap called James P. Partridge. So when the guy got along to see what was going on, they were singing Give Me Oil in My Lamp. They had followed that with Lord of the Dance and One More Step Along the World I Go. So the guy had said at the end of the interview, so who needs the Killers when you've got Shine, Jesus Shine? So there is hope, there is love, there is light. And I just thought it was lovely. So anyway, now we come together in prayer. Creator of all, sustainer of all, Saviour of all, your glory and majesty are beyond our understanding. Your power, too awesome to behold, and yet your love enfolds us like a gentle breeze. Saviour of all, sustainer of all, creator of all, we bless your name. You are the God who formed us, the God who knows us, the God who loves us, who leads us, who feeds us, the God who clothes us, the God who blesses us, the beginning and end of all that we are and all that we hope to be. Gracious God, we thank you for all you have given us, for our friends, our family, our loved ones, for the God incidences and the miracles that you have woven into our lives. We give you what we have, our time, our talents, our money, to help make this world a fairer place to live and bring glory to you. But God of power, without your love, we can do nothing. God of all we are, dwell in our hearts and reveal your truth to us. Share with us your wisdom so we may know and understand. With our limited view of the world, we are aware of our own narrow-mindedness, and forgive us when we close our minds to deeper understanding. Merciful God, as we confess our sins in thought, in word and deed. We know we have not always loved you with our whole heart. We have not always loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been as we bring our confession to you now in a moment of quiet. Father God, help us to fulfill our potential, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, as we join together now in saying the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We have two readings today about trust. The first comes from the book of Exodus, where the people of Israel fail to trust in God. And our second reading from Matthew's Gospel is advice from Jesus about trusting in God. Caroline.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, and is entitled Manna and Quail. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, entitled "Do Not Worry." "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
That's a modern version of a passage that I remember my granny saying. And if I was worried about things, and she always quoted from the Authorized Version, which was, "Sufficient unto the day are the troubles thereof," which to a small boy was pretty hard going to understand what it meant. But that was that end of that reading from Matthew's Gospel. We're going to sing about trust. Hymn number 270, "Put All Your Trust in God."
Thank you.
When we read the Gospels, we find quite a number of places where Jesus is identified as descendant of David, of King David. Those who were looking for the Messiah were hoping for a hero like David, a man of God, a great leader, who by the power of God would purify the nation and lead the people of Israel to glory. Of course, the heroes of the past are very often remembered as far greater than they actually were. Flaws tend to be forgotten, and positives are amplified. The David that people were looking for was their image of David, the popular myth that had grown through the years. The reality is that the people were probably not wanting to go through the difficulties and uncertainties of David's time. What they really wanted was not David, but Solomon. Solomon at the height of his power and his reign. There was a moment in time where Solomon was a wealthy king and Israel was secure. It was Solomon who had built the first temple in Jerusalem. It was Solomon who was arrayed in splendor. In the passage we read from Matthew, Jesus uses a comparison not with David, but with Solomon. Solomon in all his splendor. And the comparison is with the flowers of the field to illustrate a point. Walking along the promenade between Limekilns and Charleston last Monday, I noticed a poppy growing between two of the curbstones at the edge of the road. It was a flower of the field. Maybe a weed, certainly a plant in the wrong place. The flower wasn't the normal red of the wildflower. It was a whole variety of pastel colours in quite unusual patterns. I'd never really seen a poppy like that before. I stopped for a moment, but it was too windy for a photograph, and no doubt that flower is already gone. Only the memory remains. A memory of nature arrayed in beauty beyond the creativity of humanity. On my return along the promenade, I paused very close to that place, but for a very different reason. There by the seat at the wall below the war memorial were several plastic containers left by whoever had eaten a carry-out the night before. Walking in one direction, I was filled with a sense of wonder at seeing a wildflower. Walking in the other direction, I was filled with a sense of despair at humanity. You carried the thing there. You could at least take away your rubbish. And I could have walked on, but I just couldn't do it. So I went and picked up the rubbish, muttering to myself. As I walked along towards Limekilns and home, I came across a council worker with a litter picker and bags, and he said, "Can I take your rubbish from you?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "I picked it up at the war memorial." He was obviously working his way along in that direction. And in conversation, he said, "You know, I'm really impressed at some folk that, you know, they never go out without a litter picker. And there's a certain lady in Charleston who never goes out without a litter picker. Every time you see her walking, she's got a bag in one hand and a litter picker in the other." And he said, "You know, not everybody drops stuff. Some people try to keep the place nice," he said. And it was good to be reminded that there are those who truly value creation and are willing to act on that belief. We need to look after the world. We need to be more thoughtful and caring and all of those things. But we live in a world where there is a great deal of selfishness. And though we long for peace and security, and it is a strong desire within us, it's often limited to our vision and what we want. Our desire for peace in the world can be perverted into the limited politics of nationalism and tribalism, the way of achieving peace and security limited to the politics of power and wealth. Humanity is very good at taking this as a given, and we can seek to fit that into whatever faith we hold. And if we think in exclusive terms, we can think that we ought to be recipients of God's favour as tribe or nation. In terms of faith, we can be as tribal as any narrow nationalist. Certainly, where we define faith by who cannot belong. And that's where religion has a habit of being exclusive. It's not what Jesus talks about. Jesus presents a very different worldview. He opens to us God as inclusive in his love for humanity. This is the uncompromising love that asks us to see ourselves as we really are, as well as to look at the other as someone loved by God. In a nation like ours, where a great many of us have wealth beyond the wildest dreams of our ancestors, it is very easy to be seduced by the thought that wealth and power bring peace and security. Regardless of all the evidence we see that wealth and power seem to bring anxiety and insecurity, the fear of losing what we have, the fear that someone with more than us will take control of what we think of as our freedom. This is the great illusion that great wealth brings great control. Jesus says, look at the flowers of the field. The wonder of what we see exceeds the splendor of Solomon, or whoever we might put into that place in our thoughts. Long before Solomon as leader of God's people, we have the very first person called into a position of national leadership. In Egypt, the extended family who had moved there during famine had become numerous enough to be a nation. God calls the most unlikely and the most reluctant of heroes, Moses. The story we read from the book of Exodus follows on from the miraculous escape from a powerful nation. God has revealed his power, but how quickly the people forget. The problems of the present have them forget the crisis of the past. If you're reading along with Caroline, they're talking, they're saying, you know, we had everything in Egypt. We had as much food, we had pots of meat, we could eat what we needed, clearly forgetting that they were living in slavery. And they turn to Moses and say, you've led us into the desert to die of starvation. And so they look back with fondness to the slavery of Egypt. It's very easy to say that we trust God when times are good, but sometimes we forget God and trust in the things, in things like wealth and possession when times are good. In times of hardship, the temptation is to blame God rather than to have trust. Even though many will admit that when situations of dire need come and we find ourselves in a place where we are in great need of God and we find that we are closer to God than at any other time, we need God with us. And we know that when we trust in God, life is so much better. But still there is that temptation to believe in the physical things of this earth, that somehow wealth and power will solve all our human problems. It is worth noting that when Jesus says to the folk as part of the Sermon on the Mount, look at the flowers of the field and think of their beauty. Look at the birds of the air. He's talking to people who are as frail as we are in their humanity, as we are in our humanity. These are people who would struggle and fail as much as we struggle and fail, and they would struggle and succeed as much as we struggle and succeed. We are neither lesser nor greater than those addressed by Jesus. In Jesus, we have the one who understands our humanity and walks with us. For he too was hungry and weary and troubled, and in prayer looked to God at so many different times. He faced the same temptations, and yet we look to him as the measure that we can reach in our humanity, because he walks with us. So maybe when you next go out for a walk, look at the lilies of the field, the flowers of the field, depending on which translation you use. Look at the flowers of the field and know that Solomon, even in all his splendor, was not dressed like one of those. Remember that Jesus is not just saying, look, he's saying, trust. And he's also asking us to look at ourselves and at each other, because there is something much more valuable than the flowers of the field. And God wants to bless us, but to bless us, he asks us to trust him. Amen. We're going to sing now hymn number 172, Sing for God's Glory That Colours the Dawn of Creation.
Thank you.
prayers for other people. And again, Rosemary is leading us in prayer.
Let us pray. God of the past, of the present, and of the future, we bring to you in prayer all people and places who are in our hearts and our minds this morning. God of all creation, you care deeply about each and every one of us. In our wounded world today, we pray for peace, protection, and healing for all affected by the tensions throughout the world. Loving God, we come before you in humility, in trust and faith. We pray for your justice and your peace to reign. You said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." We join this prayer together with the people of Ukraine, of Russia, and the Middle East in particular, and pray for the restoration of renewed hope for all. We ask for your mercy, that it may change the desires of those who choose a path of destruction. Gracious and merciful God, we long for your light amidst the shadows of fear and unrest. As NATO nations commit to enhancing defence in response to evolving security, we seek your guidance and wisdom for the leaders of the world, that care and compassion for the world's poor and vulnerable will not be lost in this. Help us to pray for those who lead and serve, trusting that your Spirit will guide them all in truth, in promoting harmony, fairness, and reconciliation. Within our own country, we pray for our governments in their authority to seek cooperation, integrity, and compassion in their decision making, especially around the NHS, care, and welfare for all who need it. Father, Lord, in this our summer season of growth, open our hearts to grow in your love. Help us to truly trust in your creative process in our lives. We look around and we see the beauty of your world, the blossoming flowers and plants, the growth of our children and young people, the joy of celebration with Catch this morning, and all who are at the end of term activities as they look forward to their summer break. We pray for and give thanks for all our teachers, our community group leaders, and all who work behind the scenes as they welcome their restful time too. Loving Father, we pray for one another, for our church families, our communities, and our loved ones, for all who feel overwhelmed by the challenge of each day, for all who are adapting to new ways of living, for all who are ill, for all who grieve. Help us to leave behind all that separates us from you and one from another, and to follow your call to trust and to love, as we bring to you now in a moment of quiet all who we are holding close. God of all we are, help us to place our trust in you, so that when we are serving others, they may come to know your abiding love and power. Give us courage and great joy in our service to you. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 154. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. to serve the Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.